If you've got your Bibles, Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. There he was, sitting in a soup kitchen, reading his book and eating the meal we had just handed him. He didn't stand out in the crowd. Earlier, I had handed him his tray as I put the final piece of bread for his lunch. He took it without saying thank you and quietly walked away to go find his place in the hall. Our eyes did not meet. I did not look up to see who I was handing the meal to. I figured he was no different than any of the hundreds of people standing in line for a warm lunch. It was only a few minutes later when a buddy of mine ran up to me, poked me in the back, and asked if I had noticed that particular guy. My response was, "What guy? They all look the same to me." "That one," my friend responded to me, and there he was, in a sea of homeless men and women eating their meal. He was sitting there reading a book. I didn't understand why my friend picked him out. The only big difference between him and everybody else was he was reading a thick book, not just a small novel, but a thick novel. So my friend said, "Let's go talk to him." I looked at my friend and did nothing. Meanwhile, my friend walked over, took a meal, sat down with him, and began to have lunch with him. We've probably been one of the persons on either side of this story. There are many of us who knows what it feels like to be seen as less than human. A place where no one is willing to make eye contact with you or acknowledge your presence. We are just one of many, a little different and not worth the time of listening to. And there are many of us who know what it feels like to treat the other as less than human. We have excluded, not being willing to make eye contact with someone else. Our treatment of them is validation to ourselves, but also to them, that they aren't worth our time. By not making eye contact with them or acknowledging them, we have made it known where they stand in the pecking order of life in our eyes. We have been both judge and judged. We have excluded and been excluded. Over the last month, Scott's been taking us on this journey through the Sermon on the Mount. And together, we have worked through this life that Jesus is calling his followers to. It's a radical life of loving your enemy, valuing relationships, not being controlled by our stuff, and trusting our whole life to God. Jesus is calling us to a new way of seeing creation. He's calling us to a radical life of love and relationship. And our text this week in Matthew 7 reveals something inside of us. It reveals how we see the world and how we see each other. It challenges the way in which we live our life in the world. And what it will come down to are these two paths that Jesus puts before us in Matthew 7. It's going to be the path of judgment, or it's going to be the path of love. Because you see, judgment has been with us since the very beginning of time. We open our Bibles to Genesis and find the first humans struggling with the dilemma of judgment. It is the serpent who tells Adam and Eve that if they just eat from that certain tree, then they will have the power to judge. And what's even more interesting in Genesis 3:5 is what the serpent says. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but notice what he says here. You will be like God, knowing good from evil. Did you catch what the serpent said there? You will be like God, knowing good from evil. The power to judge is linked to being like God. A place that God didn't want his creation to be. And it was at that moment when God's children have forever attempted to exchange God for ourselves. It's at that moment when God's creation decided it would rather sit on the throne than God to sit on the throne. Most of us, including myself, have lived and still live in this world. It is a world which defines itself by a certain set of rules. A set of rules which will pit you against me. It wants us to see each other through our faults, through our blemishes, through our mistakes. The life of judgment will never be satisfying because it can never be satisfied. It is always competing over and against someone else. We are constantly comparing our lives, our values, our beliefs, and our idea of sin against the person sitting next to us. The life of judgment always places someone above someone else. Based on this value system created by us, individuals are ranked and placed in a certain order. The plane of how we talk to people transforms because now instead of it being on the same plane, the life of judgment places somebody up here and somebody down here. And it's a constant battle. We're always trying to measure up to what that person's beliefs are. That person is always trying to climb their way up into the place that we have created. All the while, we are trying to climb higher than them to stay above them. Relationship becomes a tug of war where both are never seeing each other eye to eye. And worse than all of this, if even one of these persons were to make a mistake, then they would either fall to the bottom or be completely cut off. And the lie in all of this is we have thought, we believe that we have the right to exclude anyone from relationship. The lie that taking a bite from the knowledge of good and evil has brought us into is we have the right to exclude people from relationship. And in our desire to be holy or set apart, we do the very thing which God calls us not to do. Separate ourselves from others. In here, in this text, the Greek word in judgment is one of the definitions, is to separate. So here God, Jesus is saying, do not separate yourselves. Do not build a wall, but instead walls are erected. Boundaries are created and lines are drawn to which those who do not meet our expectations cannot cross. We cannot have their sin infect us. But the funny thing about all of this, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but in our desire to be set apart from others, there's a little sprinkling of self-righteousness in it. Is there not? As we try to set ourselves apart from that other person, there's a little bit of self-righteousness in there. Think about it. We bought into the notion that there is a list of sins that are more heinous than another sin. In fact, think about it right now. There are probably a list of sins you can create in your mind in which you will say, if that is committed, I will never be in relationship with that person again. We all make these lists. We're guilty of it. We struggle through it. And it comes when that list, when someone gets a check mark on that list, we immediately have to pull back. We immediately cannot fathom being in relationship with them anymore. But the problem with this sprinkling of self-righteousness is that, do you notice that the minor sins aren't in there, right? Those ones that we commit on a daily basis. Those are almost okay in comparison to those sins. And so what we do is we kind of ignore ours and we focus on the big ones, and we've come to the belief that some sins are worse than others. Therefore, I get to stand above you. Paul dealt with this problem in Romans 2. And in Romans 2, he says this, starting in verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. You say, we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is in accordance to truth. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet you do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the richness of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Did you hear that? God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Underline that. But by your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. To walk down the path of judgment is in a way to declare to God that you do not have faith that God can do God's job. Living a life of judgment is deciding that you know better than God. It's our continued eating of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We figure we can help God out with the problem, keeping certain people out or at arm's length until they conform to our right list. And a community in this system of judgment is only for the righteous, or at least those who got it figured out. Community in this system decides who is clean and who is unclean. And when we do this, we are deciding who is human and who is less than human. She tried everything she could to feel better. But every doctor she went to seemed to just take her money with no results. She had endured this pain for 12 years. 12 years of physical, emotional, monetary, family, and relationship pain. Every year meant one more year she was seen as something less than human. Every year that passed meant one more birthday missed, one more holiday alone, and meals, if she could afford them, by herself. She couldn't walk anywhere without others seeing her and walking on the other side of the street. The community, her community at one time, had left her. Those friends who she once did everything with will now no longer look her in the eyes. Everyone was against her, including God. But then one day there was a commotion in the community. She heard of a man coming to town for a visit. There was mysterious stories surrounding this man. The things he was doing and saying were stirring up whispers. As she heard it, she thought, I've got nothing to lose but to check him out. But she had to make sure that no one saw her. So she waited until he had walked on by. Then she made her move. She got right up next to him, reached out, and touched his shirt. Nothing happened. Nothing except for the man who she just touched stopped immediately. She was caught. There was nothing she could do. If he finds out that she is unclean, it will be her final undoing. All she could do was fall on the ground in fear and tears. She could feel the scorn of the eyes of her community on her. But as she looked up, she noticed a set of eyes looking at her level. And it was his next words that shocked her. Daughter, Your faith has healed you. Daughter. She'd never been looked in the eyes before. She'd always been seen as something other than daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Jesus is calling us out of the value system of judgment. He's calling us into a new system, one not based on competition or rules. It's a value system that does not see faults and blemishes and sins as something to be excluded. The throne from above is not something we want to attain, nor is the knowledge of good and evil something we desire. In fact, Jesus is calling us out of the system of judgment and into the system of love. Love is the lens through which we see out of and work through. Love will keep us from desiring to sit on the throne and see people below us. It is love which does not see clean and unclean. And it is love which will allow us to bend and pick up us who have been called God-forsaken by the world. The expectation of this community is to be a place not of judgment, but a place which harbors the refugees of the world. A place where not just certain types of people, but a place where the God-forsaken can find rest and relationship. And I know for some of you it may sound like a little bit of pie in the sky. It may sound a little bit idealistic. But look what Jesus is desiring for us in Matthew 7. He's desiring for us to give up judgment, to give up the stress of always trying to create a system and trying to keep certain people out of it. This system of judgment has caused so many relationships to be lost and severed. If I were to ask you to just think of the stories that you have in your own life in which relationships have been lost and separated and severed based on you being judged or you judging someone else, we could probably write a book. For Jesus, this separation of relationship is exactly the opposite of why he came. If Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is to reconcile the whole world, the whole of creation, then why would a community claiming to be his followers create separation? Shouldn't we be doing the opposite? Shouldn't we be bringing reconciliation to the world instead of separation? But Russell, you may ask, thank you for asking. We have to have our standards. We have to be able to call sin, sin. We have to be able to say, this is right and this is wrong. And I agree with you. My next answer would be, what is the standard? Are you the standard? Are you? Because I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the standard. And if Jesus is our standard of judgment, then he's called us completely out of the judging business and called us completely into the loving business. He has called us to back away and bend over and look people in the eyes who are in the mud and the muck. He has called us into the very hard relationships of those people who we would call sinners, of those people who we would say their sins are too heinous. And Jesus says, your standard is my standard, and my standard is loving. And so the next thing I have to say is, if the words that you're going to tell somebody about their sin will cause separation, keep them inside. And instead, find the words in which you can tell someone you love them and walk with them on their journey. Jesus seemed to have a way, as people were in the midst of their hardest moments and in the midst of sin, and as a culture was telling them that they're not good enough, that they're below us, that they are not human, Jesus had a way of saying, I'm going to walk with them. It reminds me of a story at ACU. and you may have heard me told it, but a buddy of mine was in graduate school there, and a GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Action Organization, was coming to ACU. They sent a letter out to ACU, say we're coming. And ACU had a choice. You can either say, no thank you, right? We don't want you on campus, or you can do what ACU did. They put a group of people together and invited GLAAD to campus. And for a day, this group of people had breakfast, coffee, lunch, had great conversation, all of those things together. And at the end of it, what GLAAD could say was this. While we may not agree with the stances of ACU, we cannot say they were not hospitable to us, and we cannot say that they didn't love us. And I think in that moment, Jesus gets a fist pump. Because love always wins over judgment. And I would say that's where our standard needs to be. It's Jesus. We die to our judgments, our designations of clean and unclean. We die to having to replace God on the throne of judgment. And instead, we live in the freedom and hope of knowing that God, who will judge, is the God who died for the salvation of the world. This is where our hope is located. It is this hope which opens us up to relationships. Not a relationship built on criteria, but a relationship built on love. A love which tells each one of you in here that there is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that any one of you can do that will cause you to be an other from me. Did you hear that? I want you to look at the person next to you and say, there is nothing, say it, there is nothing you can do that will cause you to be an other from me. Thank you. This means no sin, no comment will cause me to leave you in the cold nothingness. We will never be considered unclean or not worth looking directly in the eyes. Because you are not alone on this. Your journey is my journey. The system of love that Jesus is calling us to in this passage breaks the cycle of competition and values and lists. It breaks through the walls and barriers and lines that we have created against each other. In fact, it invites brokenness and blemishes and faults with the hope that reconciliation is present and has entered into the world. Because the end game for the system of judgment is demonic in nature. Its goal is to divide and conquer. The hope for the system of judgment is that we will all get so caught up in trying to keep it going that we will keep others down and keep looking at people as other than human. And so Matthew 7 calls us to repentance. To repent from living in this system of judgment against our fellow man and woman. And this text has been difficult for me over the last month. As I've continued to read it and work inside of it, the only thing I can do up here today is not look at you from above, but look at you and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry when I have thought of you less than me. I'm sorry when I was one who decided that talking behind your back was better than talking to your face. I'm sorry when I heard a story about you and decided that the story was who you are instead of talking with you. For that, I look at you in the eyes and tell you today, I am sorry. But this is what Jesus is calling us to. A community that can look each other in the eyes and see the created image of God in everybody. Because judgment hopes for the opposite. It hopes for mistrust, it hopes for gossip, it hopes for walls, and it hopes for loss. Yet we are the people of Matthew 7, the people of the cross. We proclaim a good news which says that we are not trapped by the tragedy of Genesis, that God bends toward creation through the incarnation of Jesus. Sin is not irreconcilable and does not have to have the last word on anyone in here today. Judgment is left to the one who reconciles all things. And we are left with love and not judgment, walking with instead of walking against. And so this is my challenge. I'm going to challenge you to something. Here in a minute, there are going to be kids at the door, because you can't ignore kids, right? There's going to be kids at the door. That's right, no. He's one of them. There's going to be kids at the door, and they're going to hand you this card. And this is something I'm challenging you to for the next month. It's just called one. And my challenge for us to get out of the system of judgment and into the system of love is this. I'm asking every family to invite one family from Grapevine, who you don't know that well, into your home for a meal. One family. One month, one night, one dinner to get to know each other. And the next thing I'm asking you to do is after that to reflect on that time together with your family. And so on the back of this is a reflection card, and it has questions. What surprised us during our time together? How has our perceptions changed? What did we learn from this? Where did you witness hope in this time together? What I'm asking you to is after you have your dinner together, reflect on these questions, write them out, and then send them to me. Because I think the best way for a community to break out of any kind of cycle of judgment and into a cycle of love is if we get to know each other. And the best way to know each other is through having a dinner together. And so that's my challenge. Invite someone to your house, someone you don't really know, and share a meal together. And get to know each other. And realize that everyone in here is human, created in the image of God, and deserves not to be judged.